And your presence is here, and we are grateful for our children, and we are grateful for what they teach us, and we are grateful for what they challenge us with, and we are grateful that we get to speak into their lives healing and wholeness and hope. We thank you for what an incredible gift and blessing they are to us. And we just ask, Lord God, that the remainder of our time together would simply draw attention to you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Maybe it's a stall tactic, but I'm going to have all the kids come up because I can't do nothing without the kids. All you kids, you can come up, sit right up here in the front, down here on the floor. It'd be a good spot to sit. And I'll pick on one lucky kid to help me with this little object lesson here in a little bit.
He's going to spin a yarn.
Okay. I think I got one in mind. All right. Oh, here comes a few more. So I have kind of a serious thing to talk to you kids about today. We'll try to make it fun, but it's kind of a serious thing. Hopefully it's not too heavy and you guys take it to heart. But I want to talk to you guys about compromise. You guys know what compromise is? No? Okay, well, there's a couple kinds of compromise. There's a kind of compromise that maybe your parents have told you about when you're playing with others, and we all do it all the time, trying to work with other people in this crazy world. And it's the kind of compromise, you can kind of define it as coming to a mutual consent. What the heck does that mean, Kendra? That means we try to solve problems by both of us giving a little bit. So have your parents told you maybe you need a meet in the middle, like you're playing with your sister, and she wants to do one thing, but you want to do another? So maybe you guys got to meet in the middle to make it work for both of you, huh? We both have to give up a little bit, okay? That's not necessarily a bad thing when you're trying to work with people and get along, is it? But there's another kind of compromise. As Christians, there are times that we cannot compromise. Okay? It's a kind of a serious thing. It's hard. Now that you kids, I think a lot of the kids sitting up here, you guys have heard the good news about Jesus Christ. And wherever you guys are, when you have Jesus in your heart and you're a Christian, there are things that we can't compromise on. Okay? There's another way to define compromise, and it's a way of settling or lowering your standards than what's desirable, okay? And that's the kind of thing that we can't allow. So as believers, we can't accept lower standards when it comes to God's commands, okay? There's certain commands that God gives us in the Bible, right, Zephaniah? And we can't go away from those, can we? No, we got to stick to those and do it the way he says to do it. And there's certain truths in the Bible that we can't compromise on and let go of. So, Bria,
your help. Okay. I need you to hold this ball of yarn. Okay? And I want you to go, once you start down here with Danica, you're going to let her hold that end right there, okay? Let her hold the end. And you're going to go along and unroll a little bit of yarn. And as you go along the front right here, let everybody grab on. Everybody's going to grab one on that piece of yarn as you go along.
So while Bria's going along there, I'll keep talking at you guys. Okay? So I just said we can't compromise. We can't lower our standards when God gives us commands and things that we're supposed to do. And God gives us some examples in the Bible of what can happen when we do compromise. I'll bet a lot of you kids, you've been in Sunday school a bit, maybe you heard the stories of Solomon. Solomon was a great, wise king. But Solomon made some compromise along the way while he was king. It said in the book of Deuteronomy, in the word, God gave commands for the kings of Israel, what they're supposed to do. Now, Bria, why don't you keep walking and come back again? You guys can hold a piece of string in one hand. Grab it again as she goes by again. Grab that string twice and hold on to that string. She's going by. Okay, so God gave commands for the kings of Israel of things they should not do. One of the things that God said that the king should do is write all his laws on a scroll and read it and keep it with him every day. And on that scroll was all the commands that God gave to the people of Israel. Some specific ones that he gave to the king was not to get a whole bunch of horses, not to get a whole bunch of riches in gold and silver, and not to have more than one wife. And if we know the story of Solomon, he compromised on a few of those things, didn't he? And it might have started out with just the horses. I would hypothesize that maybe it started out with he didn't keep that scroll with him and he didn't read it every day. He let that slip away a little bit. And then he thought, well, you know, I'm pretty wise. I could have all these horses. I don't know why God would say that. Maybe there's weaker people that would succumb to something. But I'm really wise. I could handle all the horses. I could do that. And Solomon certainly amassed a lot of riches over his time. And then after a while, Solomon had a whole bunch of wives. And that was not what God wanted him to do. And eventually that led to his fall because he fell into idolatry and was influenced by all those different women. And he started to fall away from God. And we saw it lead to, ultimately, to just ripping apart the whole country of Israel and Solomon's downfall. Okay, so the same thing can start to happen to us when we start to compromise on the commands that we're supposed to follow. And we start to fall into Satan's trap. So as Bria was going along here, letting out some string, kind of think of going along in life and you're carrying that string with you. That string's like your life. And as Bria went along, everybody grabbed a little piece of string. We could think of that as giving up a little something, falling into Satan's trap and compromising something. And now, Bria, if you hold on to that piece of yarn, hold on to that ball of yarn, don't let any more yarn out. You got to keep walking along in your life. Can you go anywhere now and take that string with you? What if you tried to walk that way and take the string? Ooh, man, you're a little tangled up, aren't you? We've let all this compromise happen. We've let all these little things grab on along the way. And we get all tangled up and we can't go anywhere now, can we, Bria? We're pretty stuck, aren't we? And so we've got to be really careful not to compromise, kids. We can't lower our standards. Does that mean... So we talked about two kinds of compromise, right? There was the compromise where we try to get along, and there's the compromise where we lower our standards. Don't lower your standards, guys. We can't let those things go, or Satan will use it to trap us and get us all tangled up in life, and pretty soon we're not able to make progress, and we're not able to do the things that God wants us to do. So there's other truths in the Bible. I said there's truths in the Bible that we can't compromise on either. When we start to incrementally let go of some of those truths, it can lead us down a path and let go of the bigger truths. Like with Solomon, there was the smaller things, like he got all the horses and he thought he could handle it, but eventually it led to his greater downfall. There's truths in the Bible that we have to keep in mind. Big truths, like one of the big truths we learn about, what, let's see, who would know this? Ethan? What does it say in Genesis about, early on in Genesis, about who created the earth? Oh, you haven't read it yet? I'll bet you know this anyways. Who created the heavens and the earth, Ethan? Who created everything in the world? I'll bet you know it. Is it God? God created the heavens and the earth. So there's one big truth in the Bible right off the bat. Okay? And sometimes in the world, we might have people tell us things about how the earth was really created. But we know that there's a truth in the Bible, and we know the Bible is the Word of God, and that God created the earth and everything in it. So, simple truths like that. We can't let go of those things. We can't forget that. And then there's bigger truths in the Bible, like Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. That's something we know from the Bible. We know that Jesus was sent to save us from our sins. It says that in the Bible throughout. It says that Jesus died and rose again. And it says that Jesus will return someday to establish his kingdom here on earth. So if we don't hold on to those, even those simple truths in the Bible, Satan will use that compromise over time to pull us away from God and tear down those big foundational truths, like the truth that we are saved from our sins through Jesus' sacrifice. So you guys got to hold on to that stuff. It's all pretty serious, huh? It sounds pretty tough to not compromise. But guess what? There's hope. There's some things we can do to keep from compromising and letting go of this stuff. And I think a bunch of you kids in the summer program have learned about a big deal. I think it was one of the themes of the summer. What is some stuff that God has given us to help combat Satan's traps and keep ourselves from compromising? There's a bunch of pieces that he gave us. There's like something we can put on our head, something we can put on our chest, some stuff we can hold on to. What have you guys been learning about this summer? Addie? The armor of God. If we remember to don the armor of God, that will help us fight compromise and help us stay on the straight and narrow path. Who can remember one of those pieces of armor? Addison? The breastplate of righteousness. That's a good one. We use that breastplate of righteousness to help ourselves be honest, be truthful, be good people, so that we don't start to compromise doing things like maybe telling a small lie. We all know how lies can get us tangled up and get us in trouble real quick. So don't compromise the truth. Okay? Be a good, righteous person. Zephaniah, did you know another piece of the armor? The belt of truth. Very good. We can use that belt of truth. We measure things that we hear. We measure against the Word of God. If we can find the truth in the Word of God, we can measure everything else around it. Anybody else have another piece of the armor? Bella, do you know one? Can you think of any? Did you guys build something last week that you got to take home? Were you here last week? I think I saw a bunch of kids. Why? What did you guys have last week? The shield of faith. That's right. Keep faith. Keep faith in God's promises, guys. That'll help you stay away from compromise. Let's see. Who else knows another piece of the armor of God? How about you, Tempest? Can you remember one? There was a helmet. Helmet of... Hannah, what do you think? Helmet of salvation. Very good, Hannah. If we remember that helmet of salvation, remember that Jesus died for us and he died for our sins and took all those sins away from us, right? There's a couple others. There's the shoes. What were the shoes about? Shod yourself with, what is it, Zephaniah? The gospel of peace. Very good, Zephaniah. That's a good one. Okay? We want to be peaceful. Be contented with the peace that God has given us and the gospel message that he's given to us. There's another big one, and this is our one big offensive weapon. And maybe this might be one of the best ones we can use to combat compromise. What is it, Bella? The sword of the Spirit. Very good. So we keep that sword with us, and we keep the Holy Spirit with us all the time, and remember in our interactions that we won't compromise the commands that God's given us, and we won't accept other truths that are not in the Bible. Okay? And there's one. Now, there's the armor of God, and another big thing I want to give you guys, and then we're almost done, and you kids can get untangled from that string. Remember God's grace. We're all sinners along the way. It says in Romans that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So it's all going to happen to us. We're all going to fall short. We're all going to sin. We might all have times of compromise. Small compromises, maybe we make big ones. But we know in the end God's grace will save us, and he sent his Son to save us from our sins and to forgive us. Now, we don't want to go taking advantage of that grace, do we? His grace is never ending. But does that mean we can go along sinning in the world and just do whatever we feel like because he's going to come and save us in the end? No, he will save us as long as we believe in him. But his grace, we don't take advantage of that. Because once we accept Jesus in our hearts and we want to be a part of that kingdom of God, we turn away from sin. Right, boys and girls? We turn away from sin and we want to be closer to the Lord and continue to grow in Him. So I want you guys to remember that as you go starting your new school year this year, all your interactions, remember the things you're learning in Sunday school, the commandments that God's given you, and don't compromise those commandments and the truths in the Bible. And that's all I got for you guys today. Thanks. Woo-hoo!
So all of you guys, you've gone back to school in the last couple weeks, right? Are you excited about that? Yeah? Are your parents excited about that? Yeah. Of course, then there's some parents that homeschool, so they don't necessarily get to say the yay. They get to say the yay for some things, but hey, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So our kids are back in school. And we want to take some time, recognize our schools and our teachers and also our kids. So just a little video clip that kind of reminds us of the reality of continually praying for our kids as they're in school.
Lord, we pray for our children as they leave summer behind and begin another school year. We pray the word of God over each one of them. Over all their steps, may you be a lamp for their feet and a light for their path. Over all their friendships, may they choose their friends wisely, and may their friends refresh their souls. Over all their challenges, may they remember you are in their midst, the mighty one who saves, who rejoices over them, and who quiets them by your love. Over all their decisions, may they trust in and acknowledge you, Lord, and not lean on their own understanding. Over all their influence, may they do everything in love, Lord, as you have loved them. Over all their trials, may they be strong and courageous, remembering that you go with them and will not leave or forsake them. You are their refuge and fortress. Over all their triumphs, may they always give thanks to you, Lord, who gives victory through Christ Jesus. Through every day, Lord, may they remember the privilege of an education as they dwell in your shelter and rest in your shadow. For you are the Almighty God, and your word stands forever. Amen.
Come on up, Ronnie.
Wow, kids, didn't hear a whole lot of excitement. Where's Lawson? I talked to Lawson a little while ago. He wasn't real excited about school starting, but we know the parents are, and we know that they're, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there and a lot of preparation to do. But I just want to talk to you kids, and I know some of you are Pine Ridge, huh? You guys go to Pine Ridge. And some of you go to Sierra Elementary. Some of you guys go to homeschool. You guys are homeschooled. I was reading a scripture that just kind of stood out to me that said, you know, God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And I just want to reassure everybody here and have us take a look and really let that sink into our heart that God can make a way where there seems to be no way. I have 8 grandchildren that go to this school over here. Actually, only seven. Ian graduated last year, so now we're down to seven. So I get to, I get to spend a little time over there and get around and talk to people. And I just want to encourage you kids to let you know, there's a lot of Christian teachers over there, and you guys can call on them if they want. There are teachers that are walking around laying hands on your chairs and praying before you go to school. What do you think about that? There's two bus drivers out here that play Christian music. Sandy retired, dadgummit. But our granddaughters came home and were excited. They got to hear Christian music on the bus, just on the way home school, I guess. And Ariel teaches down at Clovis. She's a teacher down there. So God makes a way where there seems to be no way. Over there, we got something called a Good News Club. That's cool. And I'm going to tell you a little story about something started with the Good News Club in a minute. But over at middle school and high school, we got something called the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. At a school? Fellowship of Christian Athletes? Did you know that in the middle school, there's about 70 middle schoolers coming to that once a week. Learn about God and God's principles in school. And that's taking place every week. 70 students in what we got over in middle school, that's about half of all the middle schoolers we got out there. And I think that's cool. God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And that's something that really, really strikes home with me and gives me peace and gives me confidence. I'll tell you a little story about a little girl we know that I think she's a freshman now. She's over at Sierra High School now. But when she was in the third grade, or fourth, I forget, a couple of her little friends asked her to go to the Good News Club. And she came from a nice home. She came from, she comes from a nice home. And her parents just never went to church. They just didn't, she didn't really know much about church. And so she went there, and then they went on to middle school, and they played sports together, a bunch of the kids, and started going to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and then started getting together with some of her friends and going to their youth group. And bottom line is, she got saved through that. She went to camp, and then she was real excited, and she got baptized. She invited a bunch of people, and we were lucky enough to be invited to her baptism. And we went down and saw her being baptized, and one of my granddaughters got up and was led by the Spirit to be baptized also. So God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And I think that's cool. Now, there are things we don't agree with in school. And Commander Jay was right on. There are things we don't compromise. We can't compromise. And as parents, I think we got a heavy responsibility, probably heavier than I've seen in my 71 years of life, of what's going on around this world and what's going on in this world. I don't want to use the word scary, but I'll use the word scary. It's pretty scary. what's going on? But God's called us as parents and grandparents to come alongside and guide and direct. And we need, we need a strong family to keep ourselves together. And that's why we call ourselves a family, a body of God. And there's some things that are actually being taught in school that we don't believe. Commander Jay was saying, who created this earth? God created this earth. The heavens and the earth. Our schools don't teach that. They teach another thing. But that is an excellent opportunity for us as parents, especially at young age. Let's weigh, what do we believe? What does the world believe? What do we believe? What does the world believe? And that goes along on every situation, circumstance that there is out there, that what do we believe? What do they believe? And Jay was saying, what do we believe is the Word of God. And what do they believe? We can draw them into what we believe. God makes a way where there is no way. There's also things coming down from compromise from garbage coming down from Sacramento legislation. The big deal last year, the deal with the bathroom thing, I didn't understand that crazy thing. You know, but God made a way. I don't see that going on yet. There may be a time when, there will be a time, I'm sure, that we as Christians have to make a stand. We should be making stands all along. But we know that in the end times, we are going to have to make a stand. And we're going to have to stand strong. But I just was impressed to let us know that as a family, we got some big responsibilities. I wrote some things down. I call it words of wisdom. Here we go. And it's kind of wordy, so I might even read it twice. Because see, all these situations that are out there, what I see happening, you know, a situation comes up in school, we as parents, we react. We go, we're gonna take care of this thing. And we react this way and we react that way. And, if we can be confident in the fact that God makes a way where there seems to be no way, that that our reaction can be turned to a positive thing. So I wrote down here, say the same, the way we react or respond in front of our children, that's an important, about these situations, can have an impact on them. Is it possible that these reactions could be worse than the situation? Situations come and go. But guess what? The way we react to them against those little hearts, what's that do? Can that be more detrimental? The way we react or respond in front of our children about these situations can have an impact on them. Is it possible that our reactions can do more harm than the situation itself? Kids don't need to know everything or see everything. That's why they have parents, to protect them. That's what we're called to. So I think we need to remember that. Kids don't need to know everything. They're kids. You're the parent. And that's our responsibility. And a little something, a little tidbit I can give you on that reaction thing, when we react to situations. You can stand there, you can kind of excuse yourself. You might even say you got to go to the bathroom or something like that. Well, you walk outside, and get behind the house, and you find this big old oak tree, preferably oak tree, bull pine will work, but you find this big old oak tree, and you rip that sucker upside down. You rip it to the right, to the left, until the acorns shake off of it. Then you come back in the house, and you compose yourself. And you say, now what were we talking about? And what was the situation? You're not gonna hurt that oak tree, I guarantee you. Sucker's still growing, it's bigger than you. It just keeps going. You're not gonna hurt that oak tree, but you may hurt those little ones that are out there. Bottom line is, there's so much that takes place in our families that we can have control of and that we can do, and we don't have to look at the outside. And we can learn a lot about God's principles from watching some of the animals that he's created. We've had geese come into our pond every year, and they'll hatch their little babies. I don't know what they call them, goslings or something. But they're interesting to watch. And what fascinates me is the parenting. I can't tell the difference between a male goose, big goose, and a female goose. They look exactly the same. Sometimes you can tell because the male goose is a little bigger. But I mean, they are both right there. They're up looking around. They're guarding. When they're out on the water, they're in line. One's in the front, one's in the back. They turn this way, they go that way, they go this way. If an old coyote or dog or something comes out there to try to get them, good luck, buddy. Because that goose will swim around him in circles until that tell he's either going down or going back to the shore. And they'll even get up on the back. We had a horse go out there, and the stinking goose got up on the back of his withers and just was going at him. But they're, that's...
And they have teeth.
Yeah. They're tough, but they're doing their job. They're doing their duties. And as the geese kind of grow up, they got to go out, and what they eat, they don't eat fish and water and stuff like that. What they're eating is grain and seeds and stuff like that. So they got to leave that safety of that nice water and home, and they got to go out there in the grass and the weeds, and they got to eat their food, and that's the way they grow up, get nourished. Sometimes just like our kids going out to school. But you know what? You get out there in tall grass, and pretty soon you see this head go up, going like this. One's in the water, and one's going like that. And then it goes down and looking around. And then it comes up, and it's going over here, and it's looking over there. And every now and then, if you try to walk over there, it'll go, wah, something like that. That's more of a duck. I don't know what a goose does. But anyhow, it does something. And man, those suckers come in line and zip right for the water. One in front, one in back, and boom, they just go out there. And, you know, we can learn a lot from that. We can learn a lot that, boom. Poking up, that might be a bus driver poked his head up. Might have gone, eh. That might be a teacher popped his head up. That could be somebody in the office. We got a lot of people working in the offices over there. They're strong Christians. It's God can make a way where there seems to be no way. So I had a few more things I want to share, but I wanted Teresa, if you would. Do you feel like you want to share? I want her to share some stuff because, number one, I can't talk like she talks and see things. What I see is I know the length, the width, and the height, and how big a box it fits in. And if it's broken, I'll fix it. But anything other than that, I got to have Teresa do. So you got something to say?
Thank you. very, very clearly. He said, I redeemed you from religion. Because I would have been a very religious man, because I could learn this sucker right here, and I could lay it down. But I would lack wisdom. And without wisdom, this knowledge will create religion. This knowledge will put you on a crusade. Jesus never asked his disciples to go on a crusade. He asked them to live a life, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So in our lives, as Ron said, as Jay said, God always makes a way. And what is his way? To have wisdom. So I'm struggling again with the Lord. He's put me in a weird place I've never been before. And I said, Lord, what are you doing in my life? You're separating me again. Because he wants to bring me to a fuller sanctification. So I said, well, how do we do that? How do we come into sanctification, Lord, being separated unto him completely? So I felt compelled to read Proverbs. So I start out in Proverbs, and I'm reading all, you know what, my daughter needs to hear that one. You know, I got a call and said, did you go to church tonight? And the Lord said, delete. He's speaking to me. So then I got to spend some time with him. Lord, what do you want to say to me? I said, Lord, I don't even know what wisdom is. What's wisdom? I can look it up in the dictionary and learn it from the prophet. What are you saying to me that wisdom is? Because like I said, I can have knowledge of the word, but I can lack wisdom of how to live it. So I go back to Proverbs 1 again and 2 and 3, because that's where wisdom kind of is. And I sat there stumped. What's wisdom? Go back, turn the page back. I'm reading Proverbs 1 again. I'm like, it's not sinking in, Lord. Across the page from Proverbs says this in my Bible. If you don't have one of these, you don't have the real Bible, right? Across the page, it says the Hebrew meaning of wisdom is skill in living. So I got to the point in my life that I realized I'm really not that skilled in living. Because I have adult children. We have adult children now. How in the world do you parent them? Right? They do parenting.
I get it.
So, wisdom. Richard blew my mind sitting back there, because this is what the Father said to me when he took the pain away. But he said, the sorrow I will leave the scars. Because it's through the sorrows that I can identify with everyone sitting in here. The sorrow.
Wisdom from the Father, not to compromise.
not to get caught up in our scars, because guess what scars are? The sign of healing. It's infested wounds, but we have to be careful not to teach you our wounds. You've never been healed, and I think we're going to teach it. Go to the Father, and He heal you, and out of your scar, your healing, you will speak. Thank you so much for bringing that to you. Out of your scars, for I bear on what? How does it go? On my body, the brand marks of what? Who? Who? Jesus Christ. I was scarred. Not by any great, big, explosive nastiness. But by my mother, being on the Lord. She didn't understand. So we kind of had to like stand for ourselves. I love my mom, amazing woman, beautiful woman. But when we were young, as five kids, 13, 15, 13, 18 months apart. How do you think my mom was overloaded? But it left scars. And I never knew they were way down here. And the Father came, and He wanted to go. He wanted to go with Him during worship, like some time ago. And I knew His presence came, so I sat down and I said, "What?" And spoke something to me. And I thought it was from God. I've got to get better and better about that. No, but she knows. Right? And then He revealed it. And we reveal that our wounds are what blocks us from joy. What's joy in life? And joy is not happiness, don't confuse us. Joy is this confident believing in Jesus Christ. And He always makes a way. Always. Amen.
I'm going to pray. In fact, let's have them come up here.
Yeah.
Let's have all the little children.
All the little children.
You kids, get up here. Come on, Zachy.
Hey, don't be worried about that unraveling she was talking about, because when I fix a computer, I can't get in there and repair the USB port or anything. I got to take the keyboard off, I got to take the back off, I got to take off the heat sink and change that thermal paste and do a whole bunch of stuff. And if I can't do that, I can't fix the broken piece on the inside. And the repair of our souls, He knows how everything goes back together. He's not going to lose a screw like I do.
Or have a screw loose. Oh, Father, man, pretty gracious God, mighty God, and man, what a blessing You've done with these kids that You've given us. What an awesome, awesome gift. And Father, I just thank You that, Lord, as they take on this new year, every day is a new day with You, Lord, but we're just calling out today as a day with You, and a day that we're trusting You to be in their lives. We're trusting You to make this year a glorious time of standing up to Your principles, no compromises, being able to stand strong in Your spirit, and to be able to grow and to be covered and to be watched out for. And we thank You for the network that You have out there, Lord. That You have a network that takes care of each individual one of these precious children down here, Lord. We praise You for that. Lord, I just speak Your truth to come into their hearts this year. no matter where they are, no matter what they're doing. And Father, just cover them. And Lord, I just lift their parents, Father, and let them be able to know and see and feel the responsibility that they have. And Lord, that not to panic, not to go in fear, but Lord, to allow your wisdom to be able to penetrate, your wisdom to be able to guide and direct their lives. So Father, I just praise you for that. And I just thank you that we as a family can acknowledge that together. And we just give all this into your son's name. Amen. Amen.
Hey, can everybody stand up?
I'm going to proclaim a word of challenge and benediction over all of us. So once again, let's put on a posture of prayer. Father, in this church family, we ask that by your grace, that you would turn the hearts of the children toward their parents and the hearts of the parents toward their children. We ask, Lord God, that you would provoke us, that families would turn from idols to the true and living God, that families would be delivered from the addiction to busyness, as well as the lure of riches and the worries of this world. We pray, Lord God, that with your help, that parents would deal with unresolved pain in their personal lives so that they can be free to sow truth and nurture Christ's identity into their children's lives. We pray, Lord God, that a spirit of rebellion and alienation would be broken in families and replaced with mutual respect and love. And Father, we pray that this church family, that we would increasingly see life as an expression of worship, that you would increase our hunger and our passion for your word, that we would have a reverent fear of you, and that it would fall upon your church in this community. And we pray, Lord God, that there would be a Holy Spirit-led movement in our community of people owning their role as ministers and sharing the full substance of the gospel. We praise you and we love you and we thank you for the transformation that is happening in our lives. Thank you that your word says that we are being transformed from glory to glory. Help us to understand what that means, to enjoy it, and increasingly walk out our role as expressions of manifesting your presence in this community. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.